They have a good time back there. We have a good time out here too. We actually have refreshments today. Okay. So we begin today with what might seem like a strange place to start on Christmas morning, and because we begin with the cross. I'm sorry, Easter morning. Because we begin with the cross, that would be strange too, wouldn't it, in a sense? But we can always start with the cross. Anywhere we're in the New Testament, really in the whole Bible, because we know that that's what the whole thing's focusing on, is Jesus' redemption, purchasing our redemption, and his redemptive plan for us. That's the reason he came. And we looked at last Sunday how most of the Gospels are actually, most of the Gospels are pointing toward the cross. And the last week of Jesus' life comprises the bulk of it. You could say that they are, as we said last week, passion narratives with extended introductions. It's all about him giving his life. And so we're supposed to follow him. He's not doing it so we don't have to do it. He's doing it so we have a way to give our lives and to lay him down in a way that matters. So as we look at the cross and his body broken and his blood shed, I want you to listen as I read through these passages and read alone. You can read up here. You can use the Bible there in front of you on the pew or your own. John 19, I'm going to read 16 to 18 and 28 to 37 at this part. Okay? Be thinking about the significance of his body being crushed for us and his blood being shed for us, and the emphasis of his body in this whole picture, okay? So he delivered him over to them to be crucified, as Pilate. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. After this, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Just a little side note. Well, our little sign's gone. It usually says it is finished in Greek, the tetelestai, and that's what it means. So he said it was finished, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Jill Caratini is a writer that I really enjoy reading her. She writes mostly little short pieces and articles. I've always found her stuff to be really convicting, and it gets to my heart. And so I want to just, a lot of the ideas I share with you today are from an article I came back and stumbled back across in the last day or two. And here's something that she says about this that I think will help us start thinking about this. And she's talking about a time when she was a young girl, 12 years old, visiting a church with a friend. She says, there was a body on the cross. This was shocking, a shocking revelation of a 12-year-old seeing a crucifix for the first time. You know the difference in a cross and a crucifix, right? Crucifix has the body of Jesus on it, on the cross, and a cross, generally, we're talking about just the cross. Okay, so she said, seeing a crucifix for the first time as a 12-year-old, I was not used to seeing Jesus there, or any body, for that matter. The many crosses in my world were empty. But here, visiting a friend's church in a denomination different from my own was a scene that I had never fully considered. In my own Protestant circles, She says, I remember hearing the rationale. Holy Week did not end with Jesus on the cross. Good Friday is not the end of the story. Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. The story of ends in the victory of Easter. Those are the explanations that a lot of us who grew up in Protestant churches, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, all those, that we get, we have that explanation. But she says, the cross is empty because Christ is risen. Now, usually we say, and you'll hear me say today, that we know that Christ is risen because the tomb is empty. But I want to begin with the fact that the tomb would have never happened if the cross hadn't been empty. There was a body on the cross, and then there wasn't. That's important. It seems very simple, but we don't need to stumble over it. So we don't need to let our rush to resurrection, and we have every reason to be celebrating the resurrection and to want to get there. I understand that. I don't want to dim that at all. I don't want to pour water on that the fire of that celebration at all. But I think we need to start with the fact that this. We don't need to let the rush to resurrection cause us to minimize what was happening there on the cross and the death that had to happen first. She goes on to say, Jill Caratini says, the remembrance of Jesus' hours of suffering bodily unites us with Christ himself, for it was on the cross that he most intimately bound himself to humanity. It's one thing we all have in common, right? We live, we die. It was for this hour that Jesus himself declared that he came. Humanity is in turn united to him in his suffering and near him in our own suffering. Had there not been an actual body on the cross, such mysteries as these would not be substantive enough to reach us. Friends, the resurrection follows the crucifixion, but it does not erase it. And you say, I know that, but just, I mean, think about that for a second. The resurrection follows the crucifixion, but it doesn't erase it. It doesn't even minimize it. It doesn't dim it. You know? There had to be a cross before there could be a resurrection. And the same thing has to be in our lives as well, spiritually and bodily. So let's sing again.